Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to Series 5 of Secret Artists Podcast. To old listeners, welcome back. To new listeners, welcome. Lovely to have you. The premise, funny people doing art, your host, me, Annie McGrath. And we've got an absolutely brilliant series of guests lined up for you. The first, his name is Ellis James. You're going to love him. You probably already do love him if you're listening to this. Ellis and I had a lovely chat whilst painting and drawing his quite creepy childhood toy. So if you want to see our artworks from the episode, then remember to follow us on social media at Secret Art Pod. Enjoy the episode and see you on the other side. Goodbye.
Have you injured your finger?
Yeah, rock climbing because I'm a bloody bloke.
Oh my God, okay. Ellis James is a stand-up comedian, actor and presenter who co-hosts Sky's Fantasy Football League with Matt Lucas and has appeared as a panellist on Mock the Week, 8 out of 10 Cats and 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown and lots more. Ellis is no stranger to audio, co-hosting a weekly radio show with John Robbins on BBC Radio 5 Live. He also recently launched a history podcast called Oh What a Time, which he co-hosts with Tom Crane and Chris Skull. He loves co-hosting and I'm delighted to have him on the podcast. Hello, Ellis.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good. I knew you were going to read out my potted CV.
Okay.
But nothing can quite prepare you for it because you must have had people read out your CV.
I hate it.
It's awful.
And I hate
it?
Doing it. And I think we should do it in the edit, but I've been told it's better to do it in the room.
I did a weekend of gigs at the Birmingham Glee once. Mm-hmm.
Did you want me to add that in?
And the middle spot, rather than it being someone doing 20 minutes, was three American comedians who were doing some sort of tour in the UK.
Right.
I can't remember what the tour was, but they were doing really, really big gigs. Mm-hmm. They were doing the Birmingham Glee to try and warm them up and sort of vibe them into a British audience. Okay. And they all wanted, I was the comp bit, they really wanted me to read out their CV.
Oh, really? To big them up?
And to big them up, and they loved it. And as I was reading it out, they were in the wings. They're like, yeah, yeah. And I went to a graduation ceremony last week and at Cardiff Uni. Right.
You got a fellowship, didn't you?
I did, actually, yeah.
Congratulations. Did you want me to add that in?
That wasn't my way of trying to sort
things you've missed out. I have performed at Birmingham Glee and I'm also a fellow.
That wasn't my way of trying to shoehorn it in, but... It's in the same room I graduated in. Mm-hmm. All the students look the same. They're all dressed the same, the mortarboards and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The gowns haven't changed. One thing that had changed, when I graduated in 2002, the friends and family weren't allowed to cheer or whoop or show any emotion.
Oh, interesting.
Until right at the end when we were all applauded. Whereas that was changed, I don't know, in 2011 or something. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, as they read out your name, your family are allowed to go crazy.
Yeah.
So they were doing like this sort of all the BAs first, like people who had BAs in English and philosophy and stuff.
Our people.
Yeah. And this one person, I can't remember if it was he or she, but this person had their name read out.
Yeah.
And their parents were up the top of the St. David's Hall. And the father just stood up and was like, let's go! Let's go!
Oh my God.
I'm not sure I could handle that.
Awful.
Yeah.
Did you see that video that went viral on Twitter, RIP, of the graduates at Newcastle University where one guy interrupts his presumably girlfriend's when she walks up to get her degree and proposes to her.
Oh my God.
And it is so excruciating.
Ugh.
She looks mortified.
Does she say yes?
Unclear, but he sort of forces the ring onto her finger. Whoa. He goes to kiss her. She sort of moves her face away. The crowd goes wild. He's waving like furiously, like it's his moment of glory. And the place erupts in applause. And then eventually the person leading the ceremony just goes, wow. And then carries on reading the next day. And then there's a girl who has to follow that to go and receive her degree. It's painful.
What does he want?
He wants to take away her moment.
I don't think she wants that.
I don't think... I'll send it to you. It's her moment. Mortifying.
It's her degree.
Her moment of achieving something academic and this... I mean, she might love him. She might want to marry him. She might be over the moon. But her reactions don't suggest that.
It's also so unexpected.
Yeah. And it's a nerve-wracking day anyway.
Yeah, it really brought it back to me because you have your name read out and then you walk across, this is how they do it at Cardiff, you walk across a red carpet and the Vice-Chancellor...
Did you ask for that?
Tips his hat and then you tip your hat back.
Okay.
And I'd never done any performing at that point. I'd never done stand-up. But it's a big room. Yeah. It's a big old gig.
Yeah.
So I have done stand-up in that room and it's massive. Mm-hmm. But suddenly everyone is watching you and... It was hard. That was hard enough as it was. I think if someone had proposed to me as well.
Mortifying.
Yeah.
It's hard because it's such a small moment. It's like if you get cast in a show and you have one line and you spend all day just practicing the line.
Yeah, and then you get it wrong.
And then you get it wrong. It's like you've got one moment, someone reads your name. All you have to do is walk. You've walked before. You know how to walk, but it's so much pressure.
Yeah. That's all you've got to do is walk and say,
thank you.
Half a pound of lemons, please.
I know you did it wrong.
Half a pound of lemons. Shit,
So Ellis, what have you chosen for us to paint today? If you've got some options.
I've got lots of options. I considered generic tree.
No.
Because it's a thing I can do.
Okay.
I think Anya Magliano did a tree.
Yeah, she did. That's why I vetoed it immediately.
So, okay. Well, I considered generic tree because I can do a tree without making a fool of myself. Mm-hmm. I considered Ian Rush, but then I had a practice and the tash looked all wrong.
Okay.
I consider Paul McCartney because I love Paul McCartney, but then I had a practice and it would have been...
I love that you've done
practice. To be honest, practices. Little, quite offensive. And the nightmare is I somehow meet Paul McCartney and he goes, yeah, I listened to that Annie McGrath's podcast actually. I looked at the Instagram and the painting didn't look anything like me. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Paul.
That would be my dream if Paul McCartney it would be good. To the podcast.
So I thought, what's something I reckon I'm fairly confident I can do? Mm-hmm. My favourite childhood toy when I was a very little kid, I'll text it to you, text you the photo, so we can give that a go.
There's a lot of pressure on you because, of course, your wife, Izzy Sooty, has been on the podcast and she was very good.
Yeah, she loves to draw. Mm. I told Izzy that I was doing it this morning. She said, what are you up to today? And I said, I'm doing Annie's podcast. She went, the art one? And I said, yeah. And she said, you're not an artist.
She'll have anyone on that podcast.
I said, I am actually. I'm a very creative artist. So
does that pump you up to create, you know, the best
no,
work?
No, it just ruined my confidence.
Okay. That, I'm sorry to say, is one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in my life.
So I'll describe it, right? So this was my childhood toy. I was given it from birth, I think, by my mother. Its name is Dewi, which is a sort of Welsh language version of David. So St. David, our patron saint, is Dewi Sant in Welsh.
Okay.
Because I've got a Welsh nationalist mother.
Right.
And he is, description for the listeners, a kind of foam-filled, cloth-covered Victorian boy.
Yeah. He's turgid, isn't he? He looks like he's been filled sort of too much.
Yeah, and he's turgid.
Creepy and
he's,
turgid.
He's got a little sort of, he's got his hands in his belt loops like a farmer at a disco. And he's got a little kind of cravat on and he's looking to the side and he's got very rosy red cheeks. And I've never, ever seen one of these before, sort of anywhere else. I've never met anyone else who's got one. The sad thing with Dewi is I was obsessed with this toy, loved it, and I was ill all the time, and my mum and dad were like, "Oh my god, he's such a sickly child. I mean, what's wrong with him?" And I was actually allergic to him. I was allergic to my favourite toys. He had to be taken away. I've now grown out of that allergy because I'm 42.
Okay.
But there is.
I've started drawing, but by the way, there is
a sort of. There's a sadness to Dowie. But people laugh when they see him for the first time. They either find him creepy or they find him hilarious.
I've found him creepy, but he's got a sort of cheeky. Like, what's he looking down to? His eyes sort of. He's smiling. He's quite coy and he's looking down to the left. And I wonder what he's looking at.
Now, what I'm going to do, I might draw him in pencil first.
Sure. Yeah, there's pencils there in the middle.
Thank you.
And then a range of paintbrushes.
And then try and paint him. I was, do you know the artist Carl Chappell? Have you ever met Carl?
He does the life drawing classes at Machuntland.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Now, Carl... painted me once. He was my boss when I had a real job. So
really?
I've known Carl since I was about 22 or 23.
What was your real job?
I worked for a homeless charity with Carl. He was my boss, and he was very good at his job, and I was quite bad. So I've always felt quite guilty about that. But the thing with
Carl, you hate homeless people. That's your.
But Carl was a very, very good. Oh, well, he's an exceptional artist, and he's exhibited at the Welsh Parliament and all kinds of things, and you know, really, really gifted guy. And he painted me once, and I was sitting for him in his house. He's got a studio, and after about sort of 2 hours, he was grimacing a bit. And eventually I said, "What's wrong?" And he went, "I'm going to have to take the nuclear option. I'm going to have to rub out your face." So he rubbed out my face and started again.
Oh, no.
And it was all right, and we got there in the end, and I was very pleased with it.
But, did you get to keep it?
I did, yeah. It's in my... I think he might have it, actually. I can't remember.
And what had he done that was so wrong with your face?
I think my face was too wide.
Got a wide face? I don't think you've got a wide face.
I think this might have been in my early 30s during my pork pie in bed and pints of beer to fall asleep face.
Right.
which is not the best way to live a healthy lifestyle.
Do you still have this toy or have you handed it down to your kids?
They're not interested because they're not weird.
Yeah, fair. Toys have got better since.
Really, really improved.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do, because I made the face too big on the page. So I'm doing a sort of half, like a headshot.
Right.
Type version of him. Do you do art with your kids?
I sort of clear up after they've painted.
Right.
And I occasionally. I used to have those books. Did you have these? I think you're a far more gifted artist than I am, but I used to have those books of how to draw dogs, how to draw ghosts.
Yeah.
So I had a couple of, I had like a set list. I had a couple of like greatest hits. I could do a really good ghoul. I could do like a really good like cat.
What makes a good ghoul?
You know, the whole hood up, can't see the face.
Oh, yeah.
Very, you know, you're cheating really.
A whole book on how to draw a ghoul.
Well, it was more sort of ghosts and... freaky things.
It was a different
bracket,
time,
sort of general.
Tell me about this rock climbing accident.
Well, I just
I say accident. You've got the smallest plaster I've ever seen on your thumb. that qualifies as an accident.
No, I take my daughter climbing, bouldering, in fact, so there are no ropes.
Oh wow, terrifying!
On a Saturday morning, and she loves it. And I really love it now, so I go as well. But I cut my hand, and it was bleeding on my T-shirt, so I put a little plaster on.
Mm.
But
did that make it feel better? I miss those plasters that used to have like cartoons on them and stuff. Do they still do those?
Yeah, but I'm quite a sober dad, so our ones are the most boring plasters you can get.
Are you a compied dad?
Yeah. Oh yeah, all the way.
Did you see that story in lockdown about the 14-year-old girl from Swansea whose paintings sold for over £10,000?
Yes, she's young. She's about 16 or something, I think, isn't she?
Yeah, well, I guess. Lockdown was, what, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, she did. I think, was it her granddad? I did look this up before. This is a pair painting of her granddad.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
Viral.
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, I remember that.
Have any moments in football come close to being art for you, Ellis?
Wales beat Germany 1-0 in June 1991. And Ian Rush's goal, I used to draw that. all of the time.
Really?
Yeah. That was a kind of, it was a kind of early 90s mindfulness for 10-year-old boys.
Oh, that's really cute, drawing the gull. Do you still have copies of the pictures?
No. I think what I might do, because I don't want anyone to think I was shit at drawing, I might do one now as an adult. And then put it under the grill to make the paper look old and say, yeah, I did that when I was 9, actually.
Get a tea bag out. Yeah, this is a... I think I've made him even creepier.
Do I have to paint or can I colour him in?
No, you can colour him in. You can do what you like. I've got... yeah, let me go and get... I've got some other materials,
I think,
actually.
I'll spoil it if I start painting.
Don't be scared of failure.
But I am.
Unless she just walks out of the room. So I've just put some sort of coloured chalks next to you.
Oh, thank you.
To your right. And then these are just like your classic colouring pencils. If you prefer
those. Oh, yeah, lovely. I just think, I don't know, I've not used paint in such high pressure circumstances.
Oh, this is very low pressure.
No, don't you understand, Annie? I need to be the best.
Okay, we'll unpack that in a second. Then I've got these, which are sort of metallic pencils.
Oh.
So, fill your boots. Do you think art can ever provide you with the same emotional connection that football can?
Oh, God, this sounds awful. No. Oh, God. But do you mean, if by art...
I guess
art,
emotional response.
If by art you mean, you know, music and books and film and literature.
Yeah, and comedy.
And comedy, obviously, then yes.
But not...
if you mean paintings at an exhibition or fine art, no. And I feel oddly embarrassed to say that.
No, I don't.
Oh, his eyes! I've made his eyes too big. Damn.
But his eyes are sort of his
they are
biggest
massive.
Feature.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing that I think is going to be the most hard is his hands. Hands are always very difficult.
Yeah.
He's got fat knees, hasn't he?
Yeah.
No judgment, but it's a body positive doll. Have you got any art up in your house then?
We've got some prints. When we moved house last year, and at the time, he's really developed, but our son was obsessed with ducks and eggs.
Which came first?
And he just used to say, ducks, eggy, ducks. So Izzy found a David Hockney painting that is a duck next to an egg
from
1972. So we've got that up in the house.
That's cool.
And I like it because obviously now his speech has improved, so he's no longer a single issue conversationalist who just wants to talk about ducks and eggs.
Does he appreciate the print as much?
No, but I like it because every time I look at it, I remember his duck and egg phase.
Yeah.
And when he's, you know, 16 and has grown out of ducks and eggs, that will still be up, and I think it's quite sweet.
That's very sweet.
Hello, it's me, Annie McGrath, from Secret Artist Podcast. Just thought I'd pop in and interrupt myself to promote my gig, Annie McGrath and Friends, which is coming up on the 31st of October, aka Halloween. Ooh. If you're not out trick-or-treating, then I would urge you to come to 21 Soho, where I will be joined by a fantastic lineup of comedians: Vittorio Angeloni, Elf Lyons, Sean McLaughlin, Dan Cook, and Bronwyn Sweeney. And it's going to be a great night of stand-up. So book tickets via 21 Soho's website and hopefully see you there. Ooh, I'm scared.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is quite therapeutic, isn't it?
It's very therapeutic. Ellis, question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You played a lead role in Crims on BBC Three.
Yes.
Do you want to do more acting or do you prefer presenting?
I loved acting. And
feels like you're in your presenting phase.
Yeah, I might. It's weird how your career goes because I now mainly do podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also radio shows that are podcasted. And obviously, when I was a kid, I loved sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't, or it's very hard to just go into sitcoms. So I met a joke writer in a pub in Cardiff. I was working in a pub and I knew that his job was just to write jokes. So I thought, well, that sounds like a great job. I said, how do you do that? And he went, well, I did stand-up for years and I got spotted in London, so you should give stand-up a go.
Oh, wow.
And if I'm honest, I hadn't really grown up watching lots of stand-up. I'd grown up watching, the nearest comedy club was probably, I worked this out once, like 120 miles from where I lived. It would have been Jester's in Bristol, RIP, no longer there.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, well, I'll give that a go and see how it is. And then I really fell in love with that. So then suddenly, well, not suddenly, about so 3.5, 4 years later, I was a circuit stand-up, which I loved,
mm-hmm.
because it was a way of, I was a comedian. I was writing comedy and performing comedy. And then I got offered acting work off the back of that, which was kind of always been, which had always been my ambition. And that was great because I remember thinking, you know, I've wanted to do this since I was about 12. But then John and I got offered the radio show. Sorry, this is very short. I'm just talking about myself. But
No, that's the point. It'd be weird if I got you here and I was talking about myself and you were just sitting there painting a toy and then you leave. Well, thanks for listening.
And then we got offered the show on XFM, as it was then, with John.
Mm.
And that was absolutely life-changing because, we had people then started to come to the shows whenever we were performing because they liked us from the radio show. So it's actually a very different, it's a very, very different experience as a performer if people are coming to you because they already know you and because they already like you.
Yeah. You got in through the back door.
Yeah, and the old-fashioned way of doing that, which I was kind of doing, was to just tour again and again and again. So I used to tour my Edinburgh shows, but I would play in front of, I don't know, 60 or 70 people maybe. It was weird. Sometimes it'd be like 250, and I think, oh, my God, I've made it. I remember I did, what's the venue in Wolverhampton? Whatever the theatre is in Wolverhampton, Slade Rooms maybe?
I've actually not gigged in Wolverhampton.
That got cancelled because not only had I sold zero tickets, the lady at reception said, we've had zero interest and no one has even picked up the flyer.
You feel like that's unnecessary.
So like, all right, okay. All right, I won't do Wolverhampton then, fine.
Not only are there zero tickets, but literally no one cares. That's demoralising.
And then, So the radio show then led to all these other things. And lots of audio, which I think is probably the thing I'm best at, I probably.
Well, you have a lovely voice.
Oh, that's very kind of you. So,
do you get lots of voiceover work?
I get bits.
How much? no, you don't have
not an enormous amount, but yeah, I do get voiceover work. But
And did you and John meet on the circuit then?
I think my second gig was his third gig, or the other way around or something.
That's really
so
nice.
I'd been doing it about a month, and he'd been doing it a couple of weeks. And then because of the way the circuit worked in, it's probably different now, but there were very few gigs in Wales. It was Cardiff and Bristol, really, were mm-hmm. the two places. If you were Welsh-based, in South Wales, I should say, it was Cardiff and Bristol. So we just used to bump into each other all the time, and we just really got on. And he was very good. I thought he was brilliant from the start, but also mm-hmm. I was a little bit sort of scared of him. Because I thought he was very cool.
And did he think the same?
No, I think he thought I was a bit of a tit. So then, but the thing with the show with John, then we used to do little gigs in London, and they would sell out, and then we did a tour, and somehow we were doing really big rooms, and then it kind of all came from that, really. So I think if the radio show hadn't come along,
mm-hmm.
For instance, you mentioned Mott the Week and 8 Out of 10 Cats and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was never very good on those shows.
Well, I got that from your agent's website, I think.
Yeah, people really can't, at the fellowship, they said, and he's been on 8 Out of 10. I thought I was sort of anonymous on 8 Out of 10 Cats, but nice that you've mentioned it next to all the stuff. I suppose it's just,
it's
everyone's
just
heard of those shows, isn't it?
Yeah. I haven't seen you on those. That's why I haven't commented on whether you were good or not.
I was not great. I was just quite quiet. I just agreed with a lot. Just paid money to agree with everyone else's joke. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, really
actually.
Good. No, it's so true.
Yeah. That's, oh my God, you've absolutely nailed that.
I guess it's scary though when you start doing panel shows.
What I used to do a lot on Radio 4, and I used to enjoy them, and I was much better on those ones for some reason.
Audio is your format.
Yeah, probably. But also with the telly ones, when I did Mott the Week and Catster's Countdown and a few of the other ones, I used to sit there, I used to think, bloody hell, I am the telly. Mm. Oh, God. And then the audience are a long way away from me. I could never really relax very much. It was on the radio. It just felt like doing the radio, and I felt I could be me a bit more.
Yeah. You're not faced with all the people that are going to be listening.
No, and then once you're you, I mean, I've made a right mess of his hands.
I'm on his bow tie, which is quite difficult.
His bow tie is a nightmare.
Shade of blue. It's more of a duck egg blue, and I've gone sort of phthalo. Do you know what I mean?
It's good fun, though.
It's nice, isn't it?
I should draw more. Oh, my God, I'm so relaxed, Annie.
It's therapy, really. And I'm not a qualified therapist. Oh no.
Isn't it a nightmare, the idea of having a bad therapist?
Yeah. I actually tried to contact two therapists in the last 6 months, and both of them ghosted me.
Oh my God.
I thought, well, this is too much rejection. It's the last time I email anyone ever.
That is big, isn't it?
Both recommendations from friends as well.
But also if you're taking the plunge, you think, all right, there's something I want to talk about and go off my chest. You are in a vulnerable position.
Yeah. You're...
So then for the therapist to be like, oh my God, that sounds like hard work.
I didn't even say, I was just like, get any appointments. Maybe I should have been more vulnerable in my
email. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you go to therapy?
No.
You answered that so quickly.
No, because I'm bloody, because I'm fine, actually.
Why? No. What do you think's wrong with me? It's very embarrassing, just like sitting and talking to someone who doesn't know you about all of your problems.
Yeah, I can see that. But also, I think talking to friends of mine who've had lots of therapy and for whom it's been very beneficial, there's such an enormous disparity between the good ones and the bad ones. So the good ones are genuinely life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad ones are stealing a little... But I mean, therapists now are going to be shouting at their iPhones. But it's just... I know people who've really clicked with their therapist, and it's been an amazing experience. And I know other people have been quite upset by the experience.
I also am not sure at what point you know whether it's good or not, because obviously it takes a while to just sort of work on whatever you need to work on.
Yeah.
So I don't know at what point you know if they're good or not.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. I've never had it, so I don't really know. I'm only going on hearsay, really.
Mm.
Do you know what? As a pencil drawing,
yeah,
I would award myself 8 out of 10.
That's pretty good.
No, 6, 7 out of 10.
Did you mark it down one just then?
Because 8 out of 10, you'd think, okay, well, he's got a first from Goldsmiths and is part of the Brit Art movement. But it's the colouring in, I think, I'm going to struggle with.
Did you do art at school?
I would have loved to have done art GCSE.
Mm.
But when I was doing my GCSE choices, at my school, you had to choose between French or art. And it looked likely at the time that I would have done an English lit degree. And a few people told me that when you're applying for universities to study English lit, they like you to have French or a foreign language.
Interesting.
And so I thought, okay, well, I'm certainly not going to do an art degree because I'm not good enough for that. I just really liked it. But I probably am going to do an English lit degree, which I didn't do in the end, actually. But
what did you study?
Modern history and politics.
Ah, hence the history podcast.
But so that was my chance, really. And a friend of mine who was in exactly the same position, Sian Harris, she was a brilliant artist. She wrote Man Down with Greg Davis and lots of other things. She went back and did like an art A-level in her spare time.
Oh, wow.
Which was great. I remember I was living with her when she did that.
God, that's sad, isn't it? Lots of people deprived from doing what they wanted to do. French and art are not, I mean...
No, because you had to choose between history and geography, and that was obvious. That was easy.
History.
Yeah.
I gave up geography as soon as I could.
Yeah, but the art thing... So I remember thinking, oh, okay, well, I'll probably have to knock this on the head then, which I did, but never mind. And who'd have thought that 25 years later, I'd been drawing a childhood toy that I was allergic to on a podcast, a medium that hadn't even been invented yet.
Wow. We've not really sort of unpacked the fact you were allergic to this toy. Your parents bought it for you.
Yeah, and I've never had therapy because I'm fine.
You said before the recording you also had an allergy to dogs growing up.
Only when I was, yeah. I think if they lick my neck, I get little lumps on my neck. But other than that, I'm fine.
Sounds like an allergy. But did you have a dog growing up?
I did, yeah.
So do you think the dog allergy might have... Do you think maybe you weren't allergic to the toy? Do you think maybe it was the dog still?
No, this because the dog I had when I was a teenager.
Okay.
So, yeah, different times. By this point...
Maybe this toy was actually made of dog hair.
Yes. And I used to be allergic to duck down. I remember staying at my friend's house and he had duck down pillows.
Living the dream.
And I was effectively out of action for about 48 hours.
Oh my God, and, sensitive boy.
Well, actually, I've grown out of all these allergies because I'm very hard.
Oh, sorry, yeah, hard.
Well, I was a sensitive boy. Now then, I don't know. Do I colour them in with pencils or do I back myself?
I think back yourself.
And use paint. Because I am quite pleased with the pencil drawing.
Well, you know, I don't want to tell you how to live your life. I think I would encourage you to be brave and not worry about... Think of it as a new material gig. You want to get the most out of it. And if that means dying on your arse.
Okay. Do you know what I'm going to do then? I'm going to take a photo of the pencil drawing so that I have proof.
Is this for Izzy?
Of what...
I am an artist.
It's for my therapist.
Mine is creepy. I'll give myself that. Oh, the rosy cheeks. That's what I need to do.
Yeah. Are we allowed to show them to each other before we finish?
Do. We tend to do the reveal at the end. But okay. If you want to show me, I'll happily look at it now. I'll make an exception.
Oh, I think it'd be a shame to use paint. I think I'm going to mess it up if I use paint.
Do it in pencil then.
Do you know what I might do? I might.
Are you quite an indecisive person, would you
say? No. No, do you know what? I'm going to do it in pencil and then I'm going to mess about with paint once we finish recording because it looks like fun.
Do you want another bit of paper?
No, I'm going to. I've started working on this now. I'm relatively pleased with him.
Okay. Oh, I like that sound.
You did an art degree, didn't you?
I did an art foundation course at Camberwell. And then I'd already applied actually to do English and theatre. So I was always going to go to Leeds afterwards. But doing the foundation sort of confirmed to me that I found art college far too sort of wishy-washy.
Did you?
Yeah.
Art college is... I'm fascinated by art school because a lot of the best bands, certainly in the 60s and 70s, were full of kids who were creative and often not necessarily particularly good artists. John Lennon's a good example of this, but who went to art school because they didn't know what else to do and then they formed bands there because it was a kind of a way of putting off real life for a bit.
Yeah, interesting. I think I'd had such a good art teacher at school and was quite lucky with the art department at my school and then went to Camberwell and it was... Like obviously, it was great to be in London and really fun. And
yeah, where did you grow up?
In North London.
Oh, okay. Great to be in South London.
Just great to see another part of the world, you know. but yeah, they were just like, "Oh, you're lucky to be in London." Just it was all very like conceptual. We had about 3 hours teaching a week, and I was just a bit of a nerd, and I was like, "I want to learn how to do techniques and stuff."
My friend went to St. Martin's. Mm. And he had exactly the same experience. He thought that he was, I mean, he obviously was good at painting, good at drawing, because he'd got into St. Martin's, but he thought that they were going to teach him how to paint and how to draw.
Yeah, they didn't teach him.
And they didn't. They said, there you go, there's a studio, you can do what you want.
Yeah.
And he was like, you're going to show me what to do? And they were like, no.
I want to learn how to use oils.
Okay. All trial and error?
Yeah, I probably should have just spent more time actually working, but I worked at a pub at the same time and just had a laugh, you know?
Yeah, well, that is part of what university is meant to be, I think.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people forget that because you're so young when... Mm. I think I'm probably more attuned to this because I went to that graduation.
Oh, yeah.
And especially the lads, they all look so young. I was like, oh, my God. But you feel
old. It was
weird
being back.
It was weird. It was nice. Because there were one or two people who were there when I was a student.
Did your family go with
you? My mum came, yeah. And my mother worked in higher education, so it sort of meant
nice.
Extra amount to her, I think. Because she worked at university in Carmarthen, Trinity College, and she used to dress the fellows on graduation day.
Sounds quite saucy.
So, you know, I think it meant loads to my mum and dad.
That's really nice.
But
did they go, let's go, when you...
No, they
up?
Didn't. So I had a massive goer after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, a bit of a shame.
Thank you. That's great.
Carmarthen's very beautiful. I did a gig there.
Oh, once. With the Lyric?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember, actually. But I remember going for a run the next day. It's on the river,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, this is a very beautiful place.
Do you know what? I've taken the right decision to use pencils. I'm actually quite pleased with how this is going,
good.
If I'm honest.
Got to trust your instincts.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying your new podcast. I've just been listening to the fashion episode.
Oh, thank you.
And you describe yourself as the most fashionable man in Wales.
I had a very minor... Do you know what? I'm colouring it in. It actually looks worse now. Shit.
Yeah, the thing I like about paint is you can just sort of rub it out or paint over it. Colouring pencils, I think you've got to be quite confident with where you're putting your marks. God. What were you going to say? I interrupted you.
Yeah. This is it's a very low-octane Twitter spat. Mm. But a friend of mine posted about Newcastle United and he said... they were going to play Glasgow Rangers, mm-hmm. and he said, and they'd sold 8,000 tickets, and he said, 8,000 people will be standing on the hems of their jeans, right? Which is a kind of observation about how Newcastle fans dress. Mm-hmm. And I replied, I really like this observation. It deserves lots of retweets.
Like your performance on Mock the Week. Couldn't agree more.
And this very aggrieved man replied, and he said, I could handle this kind of middle-class snide comment if you yourself weren't so badly dressed.
Wow.
And then he found a picture of me in a suit from 2014 and said, look at that.
So you engage with these people, do you?
No, I did engage with him.
But you didn't expect the
because
trolls.
I had nothing to do. But I just hadn't expected...
Such an aggressive response.
No.
So what did you then say, that's from 2014?
No, I didn't. I said, you're right, I was at a low ebb. Sorry.
And then he didn't reply.
He sort of threatened me then. I thought, God, this is a bit much, isn't it? A tweet about standing on the hems of your jeans. I'm going to get beaten up for this.
Oil or watercolour?
Oil.
I like the way you said that. Oil.
Oil.
Portrait or landscape?
Portrait, actually, every time. Sorry.
Bit aggressive. Yeah. Can you separate the art from the artist?
Increasingly less so, but I think some people get away with stuff that less cool artists don't get away with.
Mm.
And also artists from longer ago.
Yeah.
So it's quite a muddy issue. Not very quickfire answer there.
No, it's not a quickfire question really, but I like slipping it in. Tortured artist or strategic striker?
When I was younger, what do I like?
Just what do you like? Or you?
I wouldn't say I'm tortured.
I don't need therapy, stop asking me.
I think when I was younger, I really liked the sort of myth of the tortured artist.
Mm.
And I actually think that it's quite a damaging narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it anymore. And I think a lot of artists are just really hardworking people who are creative.
Yeah, I think that's changed in comedy in the last sort of 10 years, hasn't it? It used to be like, you've got to be troubled or tortured and to be like anarchic.
Yeah, and also I think comedy agents used to sort of enable bad behaviour. They certainly used to enable like scatty behaviour and professional behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's too many people doing comedy now.
Yeah.
So I think you need
to turn
up.
Reply to your emails.
You need to turn up on time.
You need to be sober some of the time.
Yeah.
Aaron Ramsey or Aaron Ramsdale?
Ramsey, who I did consider painting for this.
I actually was fully prepared to paint Aaron Ramsey. I thought
he's so lovely.
Ginger or wasabi?
A ginger every time.
I know, you've got a ginger habit, haven't
you? Yeah.
20 gingers, I heard you order with your sushi.
Yes, honey, and I don't need therapy. I just like ginger.
I thought you were joking, but you used all of those sachets.
Yep.
Euros or World Cup?
The Euros.
Stand-up or acting?
Stand-up.
Wales, Madrid, golf.
Wales.
Shag, marry, kill. Mona Lisa, girl with a pearl earring, son of man. Son of Man, do you know that one? The one with the apple over his face from Thomas Crown Affair.
Oh, shag.
As soon as I said apple, he knew.
Marry Mona Lisa.
Yeah. Cheeky.
What are you going to get?
So you're killing the girl with the pearl earring?
Yeah, that sounds bad, doesn't it?
Yep. Talk about or think about art.
What do you mean?
Which do you prefer? Sort of, I guess, walking around a gallery. Are you one of those people who's like, oh, look at the lines in that?
Or think, because I always think I'm saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, keep it in your head.
I once went to a 24, or like a 12-hour horror film night at Chapter Arts Centre in Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like three films in, and it was like 4:15 in the morning. We were all having a break to have a cup of coffee.
That sounds awful. Was it predominantly men in the audience?
Not quite as bad as you would imagine, actually. It was probably a sort of a 60-40 split. But I remember, I can't even remember what film we'd seen, but I was sort of queuing up to buy a flapjack and it was like the sun was coming up. I thought, what am I doing? And the bloke sidled up to me and was like, I actually thought the violence of the first scene sort of predicates the entire, oh, fuck off me.
Oh my God.
Not now.
Awful.
It's 20 to 5 in the morning, mate.
Yeah, film analysis as soon as the film has happened is bad, isn't it? I watched Oppenheimer on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard a guy say to the girl he was with afterwards, I really like that. And I thought, I just sort of found it funny because it's obviously, spoiler alert, about the atomic bomb.
Yeah,
and sort
yeah. It's
like most people, well, not maybe not most people, but I felt like quite a lot of existential dread and sort of thinking about the vulnerability of all mankind. And then he's just like, oh, I like that film.
Yeah, it's like, I remember living with my mate, who, and we watched This Is England, which, spoiler alert, has got an exceptionally violent scene in it near the end. Mm-hmm. And then I remember he bought the DVD, and he was like, when am I going to watch this again? That violent scene really stayed with me.
Yeah.
It's not really a film you'd watch on a date or on a sort of night in because it's too hardcore. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's like, to say that you liked Oppenheimer is kind of the wrong...
It's a bit reductive almost. Yeah. But then someone's I felt like a snob for thinking that. looking at a painting close up or far away?
Oh, close up.
John Robbins or Matt Lucas?
Oh, that's a hard one.
Private view or view of privates?
private view.
Painting from life, landscape or still life?
Life is a bit high pressure. I think I would probably do a better landscape if I had to do one.
Art or music?
Music.
Art or books?
Books.
Comedy or art?
Comedy. Oh, God, sorry.
He hates the art.
I absolutely hate it.
Thank you very much. That's the end of the quickfire. And actually, I've sort of finished mine. How's yours looking? We're nearly ready to show.
I'm just colouring in now.
I've signed mine in pencil. I'm excited to see yours. Would you say it's still a 7 out of 10 or has it gone back to being an 8?
It's worse now, I would say.
6. Yeah. As the time's gone on, you've sort of...
I'm sort of messing it up. This is a very therapeutic thing to do. So, obviously, you must have... you did Art A-Level, presumably.
Art A-Level, Art Foundation, and then got back into it in the last sort of 5 years, I'd say. Lockdown was big for me for painting.
Yeah, I can imagine.
No gigs, no comedy. Just painted my way through that pandemic.
Have you ever... so you must have had... did you have exhibitions when you were a student and stuff?
We had like an end of year show, but I was only there for 1 year, so...
But with that, I mean, that must be exceptionally high pressure.
Not really.
But do you know, is it just lots of friends and family going, oh, I like that one?
Yeah, but also at Camberwell, there's like so many students. So it didn't feel like, I don't know, it was such a big exhibition.
Yeah.
Hundreds of students work up and you only had like one or two pictures up. So it wasn't, I think if I had like a solo show, I'd feel a lot of pressure. But.
Yeah, my friend, Carl, who you know.
Carl Chappell.
Yeah, I remember him. It's a lot of pressure, a solo show. I remember going to a few of his solo shows. Because also you've got people you don't know walking around deciding whether they like them or not, which
must
be
horrible.
Pretty hardcore.
Also, I panic and then I want to like make jokes about it. But then obviously when you're an artist, that's not really the vibe.
No,
you're supposed to take it serious.
I think you know you're a comedian by the way you relate to and... sort of discuss art and stuff. And if you're looking, if you kind of make a joke, then you're a comic because...
Yeah.
It's...
But then it's weird because I do paintings that are like, they're not funny paintings.
Shit.
I've not given him legs, but I'm sort of at peace with that.
Oh, I've messed up his bloody socks.
Did you have a nice art teacher at school?
Yeah, Bleddyn Jones. He was my art teacher.
Bleddyn Jones. Is that a Welsh name?
It Bleddyn? Is. And his wife taught me sewing as well.
Oh, that's nice.
And yeah, he's a lovely bloke.
I was terrible at textiles at school. We had to do it like up till year 8 or something. Just using a sewing machine. It's just tedious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made a toy penguin. And I couldn't find it. It was in the bottom of my locker and my locker was really messy. And then the next textiles lesson I had, I said to my teacher, oh, I can't find my penguin. I was like 14. I wasn't a child. I mean, I was a child, but not a young child. And she went, look, Annie, I know it's hard having divorced parents.
Oh my God.
And I was like, sorry. I just said, I don't know where my penguin is. Is there anything?
The History Podcast or What a Time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, What a Time. It's a great podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm actually relatively pleased with mine.
Okay.
Okay.
One, two, three. I love it.
Oh, wow.
I like how you've done him just like off center.
I don't know why I've done him off center.
It's really cool.
Well, I always...
He's floating.
I told you this when we were sitting down to record. I always sit side saddle.
Yeah.
And I've made Dewi, the childhood toy I was allergic to, sit side saddle.
Wow, what does that say?
Yours is great.
Well, it's creepy, isn't it?
He looks... Do what he looks like. I think that's probably a fairer reflection of the period he's meant to come from. Because it looks like something from Punch and Judy or one.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And now...
The ruddy cheeks.
Because you've painted yours and I did mine with pencils. I wish I'd painted mine. But
I like the pencils. It's contained. You've got the turgid vibe down to a T.
Oh.
Thank you, Ellis. Have you signed it? Please,
no,
can you sign it?
Sign it?
Oh, you're dating it and everything.
I date everything.
I date all my toys. Don't need therapy. Thank you, Ellis.
That's all right.
I'm going to turn it off. Any last things you want to tell the people?
I've not had therapy and I'm absolutely fine.
Thank you, Ellis James.
Thank you so much for listening. It's good to be back, isn't it? And if you're not already following Ellis on social media, then have you been living under a rock? He's on Instagram at Ellis_James_content. He's on Twitter, of course he is. Oh, it's now called X, isn't it? He's on X. Do people say that? At Ellis James. Makes sense. Check out his history podcast. It's absolutely brilliant. It's called Oh, What a Time. And of course, he does his BBC Radio 5 Live show every Friday with John Robbins. And it's fantastic. Thank you to Ellis. Thank you all for listening. And welcome back. If you do want to make a one-off donation to the show, we appreciate that because # cost of living crisis and food's expensive. I tell you what's more expensive than food, paint, and you can't eat it. So to donate, you go to the link in the description, supporter.acast.com/secretartists. Easy to remember, isn't it? See you next time. Oh, and also, if you want to check out mine and Ellis's paintings from today, of course you do, then follow Secret Artists on social media at Secret Art Pod. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed it, give us a 5-star review, then we can carry on making it. All right then, take care. Goodbye.
Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.